A lot of roster movement on a Wednesday here on Rocky Top. A couple players enter the transfer portal. One player announces he's staying. Who are those players? And Josh Dobbs getting the start for Tennessee again. The Titans, that is. Looking to clinch the AFC South. A lot of that discussion all here on a Thursday. Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me here today and making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. I'm Eric Kane, your host. You can always find me on Twitter at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. So we've got a little busy day in terms of roster management for the University of Tennessee. Two players in the transfer portal, one player announcing he's staying. We'll discuss that in segment number one. In segment two, we're going to get some audio from the Josh and Swain show, 99.1 The Sports Animal. That player staying, of course, is tied in Jacob Warren. He actually joined that program. We're going to play some of that audio here on today's Locked On Vols because it's pretty good. And then in segment three, I catch up with Lucas Panzica, who is a talent over at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, Tennessee, also a part of the Titans radio team. And I talk with him about Josh Dobbs. Tennessee's got a season-clinching game, a AFC South-clinching game in Jacksonville on Saturday, and Josh Dobbs getting the second consecutive start for the Tennessee Titans. Former Vol, it's pretty interesting, that story, if you've been keeping tracks of it. Everybody listening to this podcast, I'm sure, has been keeping track of that. So we're going to talk to Lucas about Josh Dobbs, what he's been doing in Nashville, and how he can give Tennessee the best chance to win against the Jaguars. All that here on a Thursday show. Appreciate you guys for watching and liking this video and subscribing to the YouTube channel and for always listening wherever you find your podcast. All right, so some movement. Straight from the top, though, one guy is going to stay here at Tennessee, and that is tight end Jacob Warren. I don't think I have to go into much detail to where at least you guys know who listen and watch the show every day, how important the tight end position is for the University of Tennessee. I have continued to preach that, beat that drum about how important it is. Sure, if you look at Jacob Warren's receiving stats, they're not all that great. Prince and France weren't all that great either. For the explosiveness on the outside and the wiggle and the speed and the slot of this offense, Tennessee hasn't had to rely on throwing to the tight end an awful lot in this offense. However, that does not mean that they're not critical. For Tennessee to go fast, go up tempo, and not substitute, which allows the other team to substitute as well in a tempo offense, these tight ends had to be versatile and had to be able to line up and play different techniques, and it's so critical. And Prince and Fant and Jacob Warren have done that excellently, the last two seasons. They've been really, really good in that regard. So Prince and Fant exhausted his eligibility. He can't come back. Jacob Warren technically has his COVID year if he wants to come back, and he did. He made that announcement on Wednesday by saying in a social media post, quote, "My time in Knoxville has been amazing. I love the place. I love the people that I've been on this journey with the past few years. Being a hometown kid," he attended Farragut High School, "playing at this university has always been a dream of mine since I was little, and I'm beyond blessed that I have the opportunity to fulfill that dream. However, I believe I have more to prove in this chapter of my life. With that being said, I will be returning for my final year of eligibility and playing one more season at Tennessee. I appreciate you all for the endless support and look forward to one more ride at Neyland Stadium. Go Vols, glory be to God, hashtag AO1 and hashtag AG2G, signed Jacob Warren. That was in a social media post on Wednesday. Again, this is huge, because Tennessee was losing Princeton Fant. We didn't know about Jacob Warren. Miles Campbell, who has been a non-factor, but he's been in the system for 2 years, he entered the transfer portal. Tennessee didn't have, you had Hunter Salmon, but he's not even a scholarship tight end. Tennessee didn't have any tight ends left in the cupboard, right? And there's been this will-he-won't-he with Jacob Warren this entire season. Felt like he was a slam dunk to return in the early season. Then it was kind of like, well, he's already been here 5 years. And, I had another year to play football, and I chose not to because I thought 4 years was a long time. And it was time to stop being a broke college student, right? And so I had no NFL aspirations, obviously. So that decision was easy for me. But I hear him, man. I mean, he's already been here 5 years. That's a long time to be here. He got recruited and played for Butch Jones, or excuse me, he got recruited by Butch Jones, committed to that class of Butch Jones, was actually technically a part of Jeremy Pruitt's first signing class, if you will. And so he's been here a long time. But this is huge for him. Could this springboard him into a potential better look at the NFL? Sure. This is going to help Tennessee's offensive side of the football tremendously next season. So that was the big news from Wednesday, Jacob Warren announcing that he is staying at the University of Tennessee. Two other players did hit the transfer portal, one from Tuesday, and we didn't really talk about it on the show because, again, there's not really much to say, but it was offensive lineman William Parker entered the transfer portal on Tuesday. Now, on Wednesday, wide receiver Walker Merrill entered the transfer portal, and offensive lineman R.J. Perry entered the transfer portal. None of these guys are tremendous surprises. I think Walker Merrill can play at this level. He's fast. He's got some wiggle. He can play slot. He can play on the outside. It was evident it was not going to be here at Tennessee. Tennessee continued to recruit over the in-state product. Tennessee essentially played squirrel wide over Walker Merrill in the slot in the Orange Bowl. That just kind of, made that decision. Walker Merrill was not an option for Tennessee when Cedric Tillman went down. That was Ramel Keaton, so it kind of was what it was at that point, right? That does not mean Walker Merrill doesn't have talent, because I think he does have talent. But I remember it was back in camp, and he came and spoke to the media, and he said, I want to play. Like, I want to play. He wasn't mad or anything, but he was like, I want to play. He said, I'm ready to play. And I thought a couple of times he was going to play this year. He was right there. It never really happened. Sure, he put up some stats in mop-up duty. I think he had 3 touchdowns on the season. He had 1 against Ball State. I think he had 1 against Akron. And then he had 1 against Vanderbilt. He actually had 3 touchdowns this season, but they all came in mop-up duty. I'm rooting for Walker Merrill. I think he can go and do some things somewhere else. I'll be interested to see where he goes. I don't know the situation down there, but you got to think that Walker Merrill could really shine in a place like USF, with Alex Golich. I think that would make a whole lot of sense. So we'll see about Walker Merrill. That was early Wednesday morning, and then offensive lineman R.J. Perry entered the transfer portal. 6'6", 325 pounds. Was kind of a tweener guy. He was playing defensive line and offensive line. Came to Tennessee, played offensive line. He was a part of the class of 2020. He sat out as a redshirt year that year, then appeared in 7 games in 2021. In all, he appeared in 13 games so far throughout his Tennessee career, primarily, kind of on PAT team. Is a 3-star prospect, ranked number 72 among offensive tackles and number 30 in the state of Alabama out of high school. R.J. Perry has entered the transfer portal. So again, no surprises really with R.J. Perry and William Parker, who William Parker was an in-state guy. He's the guy that entered the transfer portal on Tuesday for Tennessee. Will there be some other ones? There's some rumor swirling about some running backs for Tennessee. It'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. The window is closing. I think in about 10 days, the transfer portal window is closing, meaning no one can commit. No one can come from the portal and commit to a school when that window closes. To my understanding, you can always enter the transfer portal. You can enter the transfer portal now or in 2 months or in 2 weeks or whatever, but you can't elect to go somewhere unless it's in that window. And there'll be another window after spring practice. So we'll see if there's going to be any more movement for Tennessee. Wouldn't shock me at all if there is. We'll just have to kind of wait and see what's going to happen there. But Walker Merrill, R.J. Perry, and William Parker, 2 offensive linemen and 1 wide receiver, have entered the transfer portal. Jacob Warren, tight end, has elected to come back for a 6th season on Rocky Top. And then, of course, those other guys that enter the transfer portal, they are joined by tight end Miles Campbell, running back Lenith Whitehead, running back Justin Williams-Thomas, who committed to Stanford. Let's see here. Defensive lineman Jordan Phillips, who committed to Maryland. Wide receiver Jimmy Callaway, who committed to Louisville. Wide receiver Jimmy Holiday. In all, Tennessee has had 9 players enter the transfer portal, and they have brought in 3 players from the transfer portal. If you remember, linebacker Keenan Peely from BYU. Offensive tackle, which likely to play guard here, likely to take over for Jerome Carvin. Andre Carrick from Texas, and tight end McCallan Castles of UC Davis, and kicker Charles Campbell of Indiana. So I can't believe I didn't mention that. Now with Jacob Warren coming back, you've got McCallan Castles, who's just a one-year guy. Jacob Warren is just a one-year guy. Tennessee needs to, and of course, Ethan Davis is coming in. Ethan Davis needs to be a player for Tennessee because the Vols are going to be in the same situation next year. I think Tennessee should still go and get another tight end if it makes sense, but it's got to be a multi-year guy because until they have a couple of guys come in and develop, Tennessee's going to be in the same situation at tight end and trying to go to the portal for a short-term fix. But that's what the tight end room looks like right now with Jacob Warren electing to come back to the University of Tennessee. All right, so what about Jacob Warren? What went into that decision? He joined the Josh and Swain show on 99.1 The Sports Animal, and that was on Wednesday. And we're going to play part of that interview right here on Locked On Vols. That's coming up next right here on the show. But first, Bet Online, it is your number one source for all your sports betting information, news, analysis, all that type of stuff. You can get it, as always, at Bet Online, our friends over there. Latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball, the World Cup last month. They've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts as well, like the one you're listening, you can find some more at betonline.net. But I will say, it better be after this one. I'm just going to, that's the groundwork right there. The fastest and easiest way for all your betting information, that's at betonline.net. Head on over to the website today. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Welcome back into your Thursday Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane. So glad that you guys have elected to begin your day with me or listening, you know, whenever you have time throughout Thursday. Maybe it's Friday. I don't know. It's a beautiful thing about a podcast. You can listen and watch anytime you like. It's all up there. It's not going anywhere. But I do appreciate you guys for making Locked On Vols a priority and supporting the show. All right, so I mentioned it in the previous segment. Jacob Warren, Tennessee tight end, announced he is coming back. He has unfinished business here on Rocky Top. He is coming back to be a part of the Tennessee football team for next year. He joined Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. I cut up part of that interview. I'm going to play it right here on Locked On Vols. That was pretty good. Here's Jason Swain's conversation with Tennessee tight end Jacob Warren.
So when did you know that you were 100% coming back, and what led you to that decision to come back?
100% knew not too long ago, but kind of had to, you know, maybe, you know, bend the truth a little bit for a little while there, just trying to not let it get out, you know what I mean? Just kind of telling people, you know, being honest with people, you know, I'm just trying to make the best decision for myself. And, you know, felt pretty confident about the decision for the past couple of weeks now. So
was it something that you really had to kind of put aside to try to focus on the ball game? I know winning the ball game was so important for the seniors. And obviously you had an opportunity to be a senior and this be your last game. But I know for a lot of guys, you really wanted to focus on the ball game. Was that something that you just tried to put aside and wait till after the game to really focus on?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, there can be a lot of distractions through the bowl season, and that was just something that I kind of wanted to, you know, I guess handle afterwards, or at least, you know, come out and say afterwards, just so that all the focus would be on winning that game. And luckily, you know, I mean, we were able to prepare and be able to go out there and win the game. And so then it was time to kind of direct my focus towards me personally and what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be. And so now we're here.
Did Alex Golish, your former tight end coach, offense coordinator, who now is the head coach at South Florida, him leaving, did that have an impact on your decision during any point of the process of you deciding whether to leave or whether to come back?
No, I don't think him being here or not being here, I guess, you know, impacts it. I think obviously I would like for him, you know what I mean, to be here. He's, you know, someone I've looked up to for, you know, the past 2 years or so since they've been here, and someone that I've, you know, looked forward to, you know, continuing this journey with. And obviously them being gone, I think, is upsetting, but I think that, you know, we'll obviously get the right guy in here, and what we have going on here is still, you know, still the same thing. You know, we're still going to have a good team, still going to have a good offense. There's still a lot of people, pretty much everyone on the staff that I trust, right? And so I'm just excited to get back in and get to work with, you know, whoever the new guy is going to be taking care of tight ends. You know, I'm sure we'll get along, and it'll be just fine.
Jacob Warren, Tennessee tight end, here with us on Josh and Swain. You being from Knoxville, proud alum of Farragut High School, how important is it for you playing at the University of Tennessee, being from Knoxville, being a state champion from Knoxville? How important is it for you playing at the University of Tennessee, being from this area?
Yeah, man, it means a lot. It means a lot just because, you know, there's so many people in this area that support me for multiple reasons, right? It's not just because I'm the Tennessee guy, right? I play tight end at Tennessee. You know, there's a lot of people that know me from, you know, from church or from youth group or from, you know, from high school, right? You know, just being in the area, just the way I interact with local businesses and stuff. So I have a lot of support in this area, and I think it's more than just me playing at Tennessee. I think it stems from, you know, just trying to treat people the right way and just kind of growing up around here, people kind of knowing my family and knowing the name. And so it's been really great being here and just experiencing, you know, this university and the people that support me.
Jacob, what stood out to you winning the Orange Bowl, beating Clemson? What stood out to you in the post-game celebration? I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys didn't go to sleep until the next morning, or didn't go to sleep at all. But what stood out? What moment will you remember for the rest of your life?
Man, I think just that whole game experience in the first place. Obviously, you know, this team, you know, Tennessee hasn't played in a game, we'll say, that big. I don't like using that terminology because every game is big, but I haven't played in a game that big, at least a bowl game, in a really long time, and especially since all of us have been alive and have been, you know, here or whatever. So I think just kind of having that realization, you know, as the clock's winding down and we're up, and, you know, just trying to remember that feeling, right, so that we can continue to strive and continue to keep going after that. And hopefully, again, next year, be able to put ourselves in a position to play in a New Year's Six Bowl or make it to the playoffs or whatever it may be. But I think it was just awesome, kind of the just the feeling, man, of you know, we did it, right? You know, yeah. Obviously, it's not a national championship, which is awesome, but the fact that we won 11 games and, you know, did a lot of things that people didn't think we could, kind of came to the realization of that, you know, as we're sitting there holding the oranges, I'm eating, peeling the orange on the field, and, you know what I mean, just throwing oranges around, whatever it may be. It was just an awesome experience overall.
Did you get one of those big caps, man? I've been trying to find one of those, man. Did you wind up getting one?
No, I was so mad. I wanted one so bad. There was only like four of them.
I know Jalen McCullough got one, man. Maybe you need to talk to him. Try to borrow his.
Buy it off of him. Yeah, right.
Good stuff there from Jason Swain on Josh and Swain, 99.1 The Sports Animal, with Tennessee tight end Jacob Warren. That was on Wednesday's Josh and Swain show. Go ahead and check out their show each and every week, each and every day, noon to 3 on The Sports Animal. And, of course, Josh Ward coming on Locked On Vols each and every Wednesday for Ward Wednesday. Hey, when we come back, let's talk a little Josh Doffs, a little VFL in the NFL, a little Tennessee Titans starting quarterback, former Tennessee Volunteer Josh Doffs. I catch up with Luke Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville and Titans Radio to kind of get the feel of what Titans fans in Nashville are thinking and feeling about Josh Doffs. That's coming up here to end our Thursday show on The Other Side. But hey, are you looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and the calories? Then you've got to try a Built Bar. Just got through the holidays. I know that some of these goals is to eat a little bit healthier this year. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier but don't really want to compromise the taste, man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think that they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% chocolate. Real chocolate, that's right. And then they come with unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconuts, and almond. I'm not sure how Built Bar does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining these amazing macros. What's even better is they're healthy for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, a whopping 17 grams of protein in these things. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box for New Year's. For years we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head on over to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a four-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in there, grab a 13-bar box with all the flavors, brownie, batter, and churro. You can thank me later. That's at Built.com or at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. All right, so here on the show, we talk everything Tennessee Volunteers, Tennessee football, recruiting, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. We don't talk much VFL and the NFL, if you will. I mean, a little bit we will, but I thought that, you know, I mean, it's Josh Dobbs starting for the Tennessee Titans. I know we started last week and he played well, but he's starting this week and he's starting for Tennessee, who's lost six straight. Don't remind me, that's my team, but lost six straight. Going down to Jacksonville and playing for an AFC South crown. The AFC South this year is the NFC East. It just is what it is. But if you win this game, you go to the playoffs, and Josh Dobbs is your starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. So I thought it would be important to have somebody on here to break this down, and I'm going to bring on Lucas Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone and Titans Radio to do just that. Lucas, man, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no, appreciate you having me, Eric. And you're right. The AFC South is the NFC East of old, where now we're living in a weird universe where the NFC East is the best division in football. So it's odd times we're living in.
It is odd times. We can break down Josh Dobbs' game here in just a moment, but as a, obviously a, you know, a guy that, you know, played for Tennessee, played well for Tennessee, won a lot of games, exciting, a lot of Vol fans in Nashville. I mean, what's the talk been like having Josh Dobbs, not only in Nashville, part of the team, but the starting quarterback, and didn't win the game against the Cowboys, but played really well last week?
Yeah, when they brought him in, it was, you know, it was just kind of, oh, cool, you know, Josh Dobbs is in town. Because that's a guy that, yeah, he's been in the NFL since 2017, but has never started a game until last week, had only attempted 17 career passes going into that Thursday night game against the Dallas Cowboys. And you just thought, well, that's cool. That's the backup that they brought in for Malik Willis, because you figured at that time the Titans are going to live and die by Malik Willis down the stretch. And when they brought Dobbs in, you didn't know just how long Tannehill was going to be out for. Now we know Tannehill's season is over. And then when they named him the starter on game day last Thursday, initially, I think the reaction for a lot of people was, oh, are they resting Malik for Jacksonville? Obviously, the Cowboys game had no playoff implications. It all comes down to this game against the Jaguars for the AFC South. And then you come to realize, no, they believe Joshua Dobbs gives them the better chance to win. And despite the fact that Malik Willis has, you know, going into Thursday, had thrown almost 30 more career passes than Joshua Dobbs. Dobbs is the more experienced quarterback. He knows what he's seeing in front of him. He's been in NFL locker rooms. He even played his college football at a much higher level than Malik Willis did at Liberty. So it kind of started to make a little bit of sense. And then when you saw Dobbs give the offense a bit of a spark, then yeah, it was very clear that he gives the Titans the best chance to win. And I think for the Titans slash Vols fan contingent, which there are a lot of, there was a lot of, well, Dobbs has got to be the guy in 2023, right? After that, if you had a Venn diagram of the Vols slash Titans fans and the people who say Dobbs could be the guy in 23, it's probably a circle. But but for me, like sitting up there in the Titans radio booth before the Titans kicked off to the Cowboys, and so before their first offensive series and the offense came out, before that, I was sitting there like thinking, like, I can't believe Joshua Dobbs is about to start a game for the Tennessee Titans. It's just crazy. And now he's got an opportunity to win the AFC South and host a playoff game as the starting quarterback, the first former Tennessee player ever to be a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's wild. And first of all, those Vol fans, those Titans fans, I mean, there's some long weekends in there. I can say that.
No doubt.
I'm big time Titans fan, and I am, again, maybe I'm a hater. I do not like Malik Willis. There was fear for me that Tennessee was going to draft him in the first round last year. Thank God that didn't happen. I got him in the third round. You know, we'll see. He's got a long career, you know, but I'm hating. I'm not a Malik Willis fan. Having said all that, Josh Dobbs, why does he give Tennessee the best chance to win right now compared to Malik Willis? I think it's fairly obvious if you watch those two play football this year, but despite not playing an awful lot, despite only attempting 17 career passes before last week, is it just the fact that he's been around the league and he's been in a locker room and he's been practicing for 6 years? I mean, why does Josh Dobbs give Tennessee the better chance to win?
I think it's as simple as he can just process what's happening in front of him at a much more efficient rate than Malik Willis can. And I don't know that Joshua Dobbs is going to be the starting quarterback long-term for any team in the NFL. I think he got himself a job, whether it's here in Nashville or elsewhere, with his performance on Thursday night. I mean, he's been getting himself jobs all these years without playing many regular season snaps at all. He hadn't taken a regular season snap since 2020 before that Thursday night game, and always was just finding landing spots with the Lions and the Browns. I mean, this is his third team of 2022. Mm-hmm. But I really think it's as simple as that. He can just process what's happening in front of him. He can take what the defense is giving him. And, you know, there were some accuracy issues there on the interception he had. There were a couple of different ways he could have gone where I think he just made a bad decision trying to kind of go forward a little bit down the sideline and throwing a bad ball where he could have run it for a first down. He could have checked it down for a first down. And Titans are trailing at that point, so whatever, I get it. But I really think it's that simple. Malik Willis just cannot keep up with the speed of the game right now. And he was always going to be a project. He's going to be a project going into training camp next year. He's got all the talent, but it is just that. Dobbs is just processing what's happening in front of him. He knows what he is seeing, and that is baseline what the Titans have not had when Malik Willis has been the starter.
Kind of on that note, I mean, we all know how smart Josh Dobbs is and how many times his Tennessee major was mentioned the other night on the broadcast and all that. But for him to learn this offense, I think prior, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think prior to his start, he was with the team for 8 days.
Yes.
8 days. And for him to get that entire offense down, or at least most of it, and go out there and operate and give Tennessee a chance to win, and quite frankly, give that offense a pulse that I hadn't seen in quite some time. How impressed were you with what he did the other night? 20, 39, 232, a touchdown, an interception. He had 12 rushing yards, should have had about 25, got a holding call that negated about 13 of those. So
yeah.
How impressed were you with Josh Dobbs?
Really impressed, given the circumstances. Like mm-hmm. you said, 8 days he was in Nashville, and he learned he was the starter less than a week. You know, it's not like he came in to be the starter. He came in to be the backup to Malik, and then they fall to the Houston Texans. And Dobbs said to the media after the Cowboys game, when they asked him, when did you know you were starting this game? He basically said on Christmas Eve. The Titans called him back to the facility as he was leaving the stadium. And so he learned on Christmas Eve, which was a Saturday. Cowboys game was a Thursday. So he had about 5 days with the mindset of, I am starting against the Dallas Cowboys. We didn't know until game day. But he knew 5 days in advance. So considering the circumstances and who the Titans were missing, the ragtag group in front of him, that is the Titans offensive line right now, the fact that Derrick Henry was held out of this game to kind of preserve him for the Jags game, and they trusted him. They had no choice to, but Dobbs threw the ball 39 times in that game. The Titans have not thrown the football 39 times in any game this season until that point. And that has a lot to do with Derrick Henry not being available and just – the inability to run the football, especially in the first half, and trailing and all of those things. But I do think it speaks to the trust that they had in him right off the bat to be able to make the right decisions, because there is no way they would let Malik Willis throw the football 39 times in a game, regardless of circumstances. So this will be interesting going into the Jacksonville game, because it's the first time he has a full week of preparation as the starter, because obviously Cowboys game was on a short week. And not only that, it's the first time that a team will have film to game plan on Joshua Dobbs. The Cowboys had no idea Dobbs was going to be the starter. I mean, again, it came out hours before kickoff. So it'll be interesting to see how the Jags approach him on Saturday in Jacksonville.
All right, Lucas, last thing. Who will be there to help Josh Dobbs? Will he have any help that more so than he had last Thursday night? And what's the matchup look like, you know, Dobbs and Jacksonville's defense? I mean, Jacksonville, give them credit. They've turned around, had a pretty decent season. I think they got a good coach down there. What should Josh Dobbs be in store for with that defense down in Jacksonville?
Well, the Jags, you're right. They're red hot. A lot of that is due to the offense. Defense has had some nice performances when it comes to forcing turnovers. That was the difference in the first matchup between Titans and Jags. I mean, Derrick Henry ran the ball for 96 yards in the first quarter of that game.
Didn't he have a late fumble that was really
right.
bad?
Yeah. So he's fumbled, and that's been an issue for Henry in the last few games, which had never been an issue in his career previously. But Henry, in that first Jags game, ran for 96 yards, something he's never done in the first quarter in his career. And the Titans are running the ball essentially at will, which has been the norm in Derrick Henry's career against his hometown team, the Jaguars. But the turning point in that game came when the Titans have the football, they're driving, and Derrick Henry fumbles. The Jags get the ball near the end of the second quarter. They drive and score. It's halftime. Jags get the ball to start the third quarter. They drive and score. And next thing you know, before Derrick Henry gets the chance to touch the football again, Titans are down two scores midway through the third quarter. And you got to get away from the run game a bit. So if the Titans can mitigate the turnovers, which the Jags have done a good job of forcing, is the reason they won the Cowboys game in overtime a few weeks ago, then I think they'll be able to run the football despite the issues that they have right now on the offensive line. And that's the help that's coming for Dobbs at the moment, is just having Henry in the backfield. And also, just to see if he'll get some help from his receivers that he didn't really get in the first half of that game. I mean, drops from Robert Woods, from Treylon Burks on good catchable balls from Dobbs. His numbers probably should have looked a little better than they did in that game. So if he gets that help from his receivers, and as far as personnel goes, really Henry and Nicholas Petit-Frere, the right tackle, are the only guys that you can get back on offense. On defense, it's a difference. I mean, you rested about 8 starters for that Cowboys game, and the biggest stars on this defense outside of Kevin Byard did not play in that game to preserve them for Jacksonville. So I think the big issue for the Titans going in is stopping this Jags offense that's put up 31 points per game in the last 4 games, and the Titans haven't scored 28 points yet this season. And I had to go back and look because I was like, when's the last time that the Titans slash Oilers franchise went an entire regular season without hitting the 28-point mark once? It was 84. 1984, the Oilers, who had 3 wins that year, did not reach 28 points. So that means Dobbs is going to have to do his part with the offense. They're going to have to score because Trevor Lawrence is playing too good of football right now to be just shut down. That's not going to happen. But ultimately, I do think the onus is on the Titans defense and offensively avoiding turnovers, which, you know, had a couple with Dobbs at the helm against the Cowboys, but it'll probably come down to that with a heavy emphasis on Derrick Henry.
Lucas Panzeca, give him a follow on Twitter at Lucas Panzeca. Check out his work at 104.5 The Zone. He's on air pretty much the entire midday, a couple shows there, and you can listen to him and follow his work with Titans Radio as well. Lucas, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Eric, appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Great stuff there from Lucas Panzeca, giving us a little background information on Josh Dobbs and the upcoming matchup for Tennessee at Jacksonville. Was in Miami, you know, kind of just rolling around, having, you know, out and about, checking out some things there last week in preparation. I guess it was the night before Tennessee took on Clemson, and I had that game pulled up on my phone. So I was watching Josh Dobbs, like, ooh, man, look at that throw. Man, look at that play. Josh Dobbs giving Tennessee a pulse. So hopefully Josh Dobbs can win the Tennessee Titans a game here, and we can see Tennessee go into the playoffs. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. We'll come back tomorrow, same time, same place, and get you set for Tennessee hoops on the weekend. Anything else news worthy for the Tennessee football team, all that and more, that's coming up on tomorrow's Locked On Vols. Check out Locked On Sports today. Give that a listen. Make that your second listen behind Locked On Vols. Of course, it's the biggest news and takes and stories of the world of sports. That is Locked On Sports today, right behind Locked On Vols. Guys, I appreciate it. We'll do it again here on a Friday. This is Locked On Vols.